seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 12. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat were in the midst of great trouble here with the armies of the nations coming against them. And the words of our text seemed to drop in quite powerfully last evening, thinking of the service tonight. Particularly, and this is really what I want to speak from, the latter part. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You see, the children of Moab and Ammon and the Amorites, they were powerful. And a great company. And there are many great companies today that are coming against the real child of God. Satan, with all his power, seems to be let loose. And the wonderful mercy is, with Jehoshaphat, the Lord was on the throne. And so he is today. And there's the sinner's hope. But there may be those of you, why the Lord has given me this word, that have many things against you. And it's a proof, really, that we've got a real religion. Because Satan will never oppose his own. And the real child of God will know what it is to have much opposition, firstly, from within their own heart. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Mighty enemies without, but much mightier within. And you think of the great armies there are in us. What shall we say, the Holy Spirit said in the Shunammite, but a company of two armies. The flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And there will be, if we've got a real religion, that continual warfare within us. I often think back, and I may have mentioned it before, I went to visit my late dear grandfather on one occasion, and he said to me when I walked in the house, he said, "Can you hear the noise that's going on?" And I wonder what he meant initially. He said, "It's all in my heart. Those enemies within me." And he said, they're fighting against God and against his work. There's our pride, isn't it? our self-righteousness, our carnality, the worldliness in us. You may say, well, these things in the child of God, yes. And they fight against the Lord's work and against his blessed spirit. And you know, it is only the Lord that can still the noise of this warfare. Now think of it concerning dear Jehoshaphat and the Lord's dear people in Judah. This great company, it wasn't just one or two, a great company that would come, as our text says. And he goes to the God of heaven, doesn't he? He says, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? You see, Jehoshaphat knew the Lord had all power to put them down in a moment. And he goes to the God of heaven with it all. And what does the Lord say? You have no need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. In every believer, two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. Now, I don't know why I named that tonight, but you see, the inward fightings there are within the child of God. But then, of course, there's the great army of Satan and all his hellish crew opposing the real child of God. But what I want to look at as help, that is just where little of where they were, you see. Let's put it like this. It was not an easy path to walk out, was it? You know, the path to heaven won't be easy. It's through, the Word of God tells us very clearly, through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. And those tribulations, you see, vary from one child of God to another. The Lord's a sovereign, what they will have to wade through. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. We've no might. And that's one of the things the Lord will teach his dear children. They got no power themselves. They're poor, they're helpless, and without him they can do nothing. And you know, the Lord will have his dear people like that. Because it makes them continually, first of all, cry to the God of heaven for help. And this is where Jehoshaphat had to go and the people. They couldn't overcome this great army, this great company. But the Lord could overcome it for them. So, that is the first thing. What a mercy it is that we've got the throne of grace to go to. How many times when the way is difficult and we've got no might ourselves, we can flee to the God of heaven for aid. All we need is in him. And this is where you're better bless the Lord for the throne of grace, the door of mercy. And some years ago, I remember I felt ever so low in heart and in spirit and in the pathway. And I remember a dear man saying to me, in it all, he said, well, you've got a place you can go. And he said this, the door of thy mercy stands open all day for the poor and the needy who knock by the way. And what a mercy that door's ever open, isn't it? The devil may try and tell you that it's shut. But think of it when the Lord seems to turn a deaf ear and you wonder whether the devil's going to have his way. But what will that do? It'll make you cry more earnestly, poor soul. Lord, I will not let thee go till a blessing thou bestow, till the Lord appears. You see, he says here, we have no might. And it's something the child of God has got to learn. And they have to learn it daily. But the second thing, why he brings his dear children to this point, will be this. That they might be wholly dependent upon him. Thy whole dependence, the Lord said, on me fix. And you know, it's a wonderful place to be dependent upon the Lord, isn't it? So often I feel that when I go in the pulpit to preach, and I've often said it, if the Lord fails me, I'm finished. But he won't fail them that trust in him, that lean hard upon him, that are dependent upon him. You think of the spouse when she came up from the wilderness. Where was she leaning? She wasn't leaning on herself, was she? She wasn't leaning on any man. The wise man beautifully set it forth, didn't he, when he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. But you see, we got an old nature that soon leans to our own understanding, doesn't it? So he makes the sinner dependent upon him, leaning hard upon him. And the harder the child of God leans, and this is where Jehoshaphat and the people had to come, the harder they were to lean, the more they were to see the wonders God alone can do. Oh yes. And how real his prayers were in it all, weren't they? How he sought the Lord for his appearing. And poor soul, tonight you may be in something, and are you dependent upon the Lord? You've got no might yourself, no power, but dependent upon him. And you know the Lord will never fail those such souls. Oh, he won't. You think of the places, and I often think about dear Joshua when he was to take up that mantle that fell from Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You know how many times the Lord said to him that he would never fail him nor forsake him. I love that first chapter of the book of Joshua. Sacred word there. And you say, you may be in something tonight, and the devil said, oh, but you failed in this, and we do, we failed, and I feel sometimes a complete failure. We only remind you of all your failings. But the Lord will never fail you if you're leaning hard upon him. And dear Jehoshaphat, you know, and many of those old divines, how dependent they were upon the Lord, upon his hazen. And then we read this, neither know we what to do. You know, so often the child of God comes there, don't they? Things of providence. Lord, what shall we do in this matter? Neither know we what to do. And it may be in something tonight, and you say, Lord, we know not what to do in it all. You think of dear Jehoshaphat, this great company against him, this armies. No power or might to overcome. Neither know we what to do. But the Lord was to make it clear, wasn't he? And he can make it clear with your poor heart in a moment. And you know, it's wonderful when he does. Absolutely clear. And it may be he will speak a word audibly to you. He may say to you this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, this is the way. And when he says such a word as that, he'll make it absolutely clear, you see. Oh, he will. This is the way. Or it may be that he will say to you, their strength is to sit still. I remember, if I may drop a personal note here, back in late 79, 80, there was so much trouble in the church at Ashwell, and I felt, well, naturally speaking, I could just walk out. And I had 4 invitations to go to other chapels as a pastor while it was all going on. And I remember so clearly, Mr. Ramsbottom phoned me and he said to me, "How are you?" And I said, "Well, I just don't know." I quoted this word, "Neither know we what to do. But I trust I can say, as Jehoshaphat did, but our eyes are upon thee." And I shall never forget what he said to me. He said, "Well, if the Lord hadn't shown you to do anything," he said, "all you can do is sit still." And you know, it was a good counsel it was to me. I've never forgot it. And the Lord showed me. I got to ride it out. And sit still and watch the Lord work. You see, we had it here in the lesson, didn't we? That's what they had got to do. He says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And you know, the Lord made it so clear. There was my strength to sit still. And I did, you know. And the Lord wonderfully smiled on it. And there were those gracious additions to the church, you see, to follow it all. And that's a wonderful thing to see, you know. It is. And of course, what really was the key and the trouble really was there were those who wanted to change the hymn book. And I said to them, "Well, if you change that, the next thing you want to do will be to change the Bible." And I've witnessed it in a few chapels. That's just exactly what's happened. It's solemn, you know. Watering the truth down, you see. Making it more palatable to the flesh. But I'll leave that. He says here, "Neither know we what to do." If the Lord doesn't tell you to do anything, poor soul, you can't do anything, can you? You've got to sit still. For how sweet it is when he makes the way, like he did with the children of Israel. They didn't know what to do, did they, when they were faced with the Red Sea and Pharaoh's host, so not only pursuing them, but overtaking them. But the Lord made it clear, two things. First, like he did with Jehoshaphat here, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The deliverance was to be complete, it was. Oh, it was. Not only to bring them through the Red Sea, but to see the enemy dead on the seashore. And we have it here, and how the Lord wonderfully worked. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon, of Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Oh, they were. The Lord did it, you see. And he can do that today. Oh, he can. But this last clause was particularly upon mine's heart. This is really what took me to the word. It came so sweetly last night. I said, Lord, what shall we bring before thy dear people tonight? And in a moment the Lord answered me, this word, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, you may be saying, just like Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do, but he did know what to do. And that was to look heavenward, to the Lord himself, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, let us bring it right home to us here. Where are your eyes and where are mine tonight? Whatever you might be in, weighed down by sin, opposed by Satan, sorely tempted, afflictions on one, the right hand and on the left, sorrows of every shape and form, but where are our eyes? Are they upon the Lord? I often quote that word, and one or two here have often reminded me of it. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. You know, that's a wonderful word. I shall never forget your late beloved pastor preaching from it. And he said, and I've never forgot it, he said, what did it mean? He said it was a long view. They got to look right on. Not to the right hand, not to the left. They got to look straight ahead. Right on. And thine eyes heavenward, looking unto Jesus. We think of that beautiful word that when the Saviour spoke of the things that would come to pass in the last days. And what did he say? When ye see these things come to pass, look up. And you think of Jehoshaphat here. Not knowing what to do, and it may be in a matter tonight, you don't know what to do. Look up. Keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. But our eyes are upon thee, fixed upon a precious Jesus. You know, there may be those walking through deep things tonight. There may be those the Lord has abundantly blessed, but where are your eyes fixed tonight? Are they upon the dear Redeemer? You know, so often over the years, when I've come into deep waters, both in soul and in providence, in the afflictions too of the journey, the Lord seems to bring me into them. And I say this for his honour and glory, to cause me to look to him, what he endured. And you may think your heart, lot is hard, you may think it's difficult, you may be weighed down and perplexed, and you may say, oh, how hard is my lot. You think of a precious Jesus, what he endured. We sing in the hymn, what he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. And you know, as he shows you a little what he endured, your affliction, your enemies that plague you, your trial of faith, your providential difficulties are nothing compared to what he endured. And you know that'll help you to go on. Oh, it will. Oh, it will. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? You know, it's a sacred subject when our eyes are fixed upon a precious Jesus. And here, I believe, Joshua had it, Moses had it on many occasions, and here Jehoshaphat had it, where they had a beautiful glimpse of the dear Redeemer going before them. And what they were having to walk through was in measure a little what he had to tread. Just in a little measure. But our eyes are upon thee. You think of Jonah in the fish's belly. He got no might to get out of it, had he? We know he was there because of disobedience, not obeying the commandment of God. And you know we need to be very careful lest we're disobedient. Think of that word of the Apostle Paul, be ye as obedient children. Like a child, if it's disobedient, he should be corrected. And the Lord will chasten his people when they're disobedient. Oh, he will. And oh, that in it all, our eyes may be upon him. Now think of Jonah. In that fish's belly. Right down the bottoms of the mountains. Felt to be in the belly of hell. He got no might or power to get out of it already. But where were his eyes fixed? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He was to look to a precious Jesus, God's holy temple. It was he that was to deliver him. No other could. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And Jonah had to prove it. He had a beautiful view there of the dear Redeemer. Oh yes, oh that we might have in the pathway we walk, those blessed views by faith of a precious Jesus. and the things he brings his dear children into will bring them to consider him, and that their eyes might be upon him. Because there is all their hope, all their stay, all their salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby ye must be saved, the name of Jesus. But I must leave it because of the time. He says here, neither know we what to do, but. And what a beautiful but that is, isn't it? You know, there's some very precious buts throughout God's holy word, where the sinner comes to the end of everything feeling so, but he is the same yesterday, today and forever. His love no variation knows. And those wonderful buts. And we think of it with the hymn writer when he said, preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there would I have been, but he doth all things well. Well, I scratch around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit apply this precious word to us. And may our eyes be fixed upon him for all that we need, both in providence, in grace, that we might continually be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, often think as we come up to the house of God, to the services, whether it be on the Lord's Day or in the week, where are our eyes fixed? I trust they're not just fixed on the poor preacher, but fixed on a precious Jesus, looking to him for all the sinner needs. And you know, the Lord will never disappoint such a soul. Oh no. They approve the wonders he alone can do. Well, may the Lord apply this precious word. our God, may that be the fervent prayer and exercise of our heart. Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Well, may the Lord bless the word and forgive anything amiss. Amen.